Now, I'm really not going to take a long time. I've just been burdened, and I want to share my burden with you and hope that it will produce burden in your heart as well. I think it's so easy for us, as richly blessed as we are, to get caught up in all the excitement and enthusiasm for Christmas, and I think you should be. I'm excited about it myself. And forget about the numbers of people, and they aren't just a few, for whom Christmas is not a happy time. And I don't want us to be insensitive to those folks. You know, there are folks who have loved ones that have departed this life. This may be their first Christmas without them, or it might be, as I spoke with somebody earlier today, their 20th Christmas without them. And it just never feels right because they're not there. And they feel all alone. It might be folks who have financial hardships, who want to do lots of things for their loved ones and can't. And it depresses and discourages them and makes them feel all alone. There might be folks who have such great family dysfunction that they dread this time of the year because all the family has to get together. And that typically isn't a pleasant time. Maybe they are ostracized or persecuted for their faith and they just dread the holiday coming. Maybe there are painful memories from growing up in a home where there was abuse or neglect, and Christmas is when you see all the cards and the TV shows and the perfect families being modeled out, and they feel so frustrated because they don't know what that feels like and sense that they never will, and they feel hopeless and despair. More people treated for clinical depression this time of the year, more suicides this time of the year. It's just not happy for everybody, and that breaks my heart. But I think the most common frustration that I hear voiced to me personally is that it's such a lonely time. Such a lonely time. So I just thought through some scriptures that I wanted to share to see if we could, as a church family, help in some way in that regard. I looked at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, and it says, a man who would have friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I don't have a biological brother. I have many brothers in Christ. I don't know a lot about the sibling rivalry that exists with brothers. I also don't know about the kindred spirit, I guess, that exists between brothers. But the fact is, many have stories of brothers that were hurtful, that were not very kind, that were not very loving. Please hear when I say that is not God's intent. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. God's intent, this is important for us as a family of God, is that brothers would help to bear one another's burdens. In times of adversity, they would rise to the occasion and help out. And if that has not been your experience with a brother, I'm sorry. I'm sure that breaks the heart of God. But we ought not give up on the whole notion of brothers, because the fact is we have many brothers and sisters in Christ that can be closer than our biological family. I'm intrigued by the comparison between friends and brothers. We don't get a vote in our brothers and sisters. That's just a biological function. And whether they're good guys or gals or bad guys or gals, they're our brothers and sisters. And we ought to love them and we ought to be faithful to them even if they aren't to us. But friends, we choose. Oh, I accept that there's oftentimes some chemistry involved there. Some people that you feel an instant attachment to or an affinity with, a bond in Christ. Hopefully we have a fellowship of the Spirit of God within us to produce that bond. But because they are our friends by choice, they have the prospect of hurting us just as much as a brother that betrays us, and that a friend can choose not to be our friend. And I'm not the only person here tonight who can bear testimony of people who used to be friends who aren't. And it is painful, it's hurtful. Because you love those people, you miss those people, and they have the potential to wound you deeply. And yet, friends, true friends, I believe, are among the greatest blessings in life, apart from our salvation and our spouse. True friends may be our greatest blessing in life. It's said that you're very fortunate if you have four or five true friends in your lifetime. But the value they provide, four or five, may be enough. I mean, they are precious gifts from God. That's why I'm intrigued by the radio advertisement from Dealer Options. There's a business in town that will do all kind of update things in your car. They'll update your radio or your navigation system, or they'll do all kind of things mechanically, and they'll do heated seats and all these kind of things. And their slogan is, "We don't treat you like family. We treat you like friends." Something to be said for that. Kind of like getting a ministerial discount. You double the price and give 30% off, and you don't need friends like that. But we have to understand that friends are human, and they may let us down, and they may hurt us. But that's not reason enough for us not to continue to be friendly and hopefully maintain the relationship. But I want you to know something. If you're in that group for whom this feels like a lonely season, John 15:15 tells us that we have a friend in Jesus. "No longer do I call you servants," Jesus said, "for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you." The friend there is philos. It literally translates a dear one. Dear one. A close associate. A friend. A companion. One deeply loved. And because Jesus is our friend, I have words of hope for you tonight. And the first of those words of hope is that you're never alone. Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." I probably can't relate to where many of you are. I probably have not shared the same heartache that many of you all are experiencing. But God has. God has. You say, he doesn't know what it's like to have an unfaithful spouse. Well, sure he does. His bride is unfaithful often. Think about that. We're the bride of Christ, right? You say, well, he doesn't know what it's like to lose a child in death. Nobody's father does. The Father God sent his son to die. A painful, shameful, humiliating, agonizing death. And don't you know, there was really intense silence in heaven as Jesus died. Because of what the Father would like to do to those who killed him. So he knows about that heartache. Our question is whether or not we're willing to trust him to the degree that we can have peace in the midst of our heartache and frustration. Are we willing to trust him with the well-being of our departed loved one? Or are we going to be bitter? Are we going to blame God that our loved one was taken prematurely? Are we going to assume that God doesn't really love us, or he wouldn't have allowed that loved one to die? Are we going to allow his spirit to fill the emptiness that we feel over our great loss? Are we going to be content with what we have while we wait on God's additional provision? Will we extend grace knowing that God is the great avenger to those who have done us wrong? Will we do our part in the family gatherings to maintain the peace and allow there to be a sense of cooperation? Will we leave the past in the past? Done enough damage. No reason to allow it to continue to destroy the present and the future. But see, the answer to those questions is completely dependent upon whether or not we will trust God. He's trustworthy, and He's able to meet our need. But I have a second word of encouragement for those of you who are struggling with this season of the year. And that is this. Because we're the family of God, we're all friends. You say, I don't know, preacher, about those folks that sit over on that side. And you know, and there are Baptist churches where that's the line of demarcation. The Hatfields and the McCoys. And the people over here don't speak to the people over there. And I can tell you that's of the devil. That makes some people mad. That's of the devil. If we're the family of God, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, we have an obligation to love each other. And if God has called us all friend, think about that. If you're my wife's friend, you're my friend too. If you're my daughter's friend, you're my friend too. I care about you because I care about them, right? Well, guess what? We all are God's friend if we're His children. That's what He said. Jesus said, I have called you not servant, but friend. So then that means we ought to be friends with each other. And God's got a word for us in that regard. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, He says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Think about that. And yet, as I mentioned this morning, I think I mentioned in the newsletter as well, well, the temptation is to be so busy. Yeah, you know people that are lonely. You know people that are hurting. You know people that are struggling. And we'll pray for them. But we don't have time to be Jesus to them right now because we've got our own agenda. We've got places to be and things to do and their priorities. And so they'll just have to wait. I would tell you, folks, we have an obligation to each other to bear one another's burdens. Two parts of that. The first is my willingness to bear it with you. The second is your willingness to share it. And if we will, and be the kind of friends that aren't going to spread that news all over town, but rather lift our brothers and sisters up in prayer and come alongside them and encourage them and try to lift their spirits, we can make a difference in this Christmas season. And I believe that's what God expects. Well, I don't think God's disappointed at all by the things that we do. I think God's blessed by many of our church traditions, by many of our family traditions. I think He enjoys seeing families together and enjoying a good meal and exchanging gifts and all those kind of things. But I think He'd be more greatly blessed to see us do those things and include others maybe that don't have their families to lean on. They don't have those traditions that brighten their spirits. That's how we bear one another's burden. And that needs to be the mindset of every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. I want to care enough about you that your problems are as important to me as my problems. And I'll be confessional and say, I'm not always there. But I want to be, and I'm closer than I used to be, and if I stay right with God, I will be even closer than that tomorrow. Because that's the Spirit of Christ in me. And that same Spirit's in you, and in you, and in all of God's people. That we would so deeply care for one another that we would delight in being able to bear one another's burdens. So in that regard, just even just very briefly, and we'll close, I want to ask if we could, and I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world, but if we could get folks who'd be willing to say, you know, preacher, I'm really struggling. Whatever the case is, whether it's discouragement, defeat, whether it's loneliness, whether it's dysfunction in family, whether it's financial issues, whatever the case might be, physical health, whatever, I'm just not enjoying the holiday. I'm kind of dreading all this, and I'd like for you to pray for me. I want to ask if you would be willing just to come stand at the front and let us pray for you. Anybody at all in the place that would just say, preacher, maybe you've described me, and I would love to have you pray for me and have folks who'd be willing to bear my burden. Anybody at all? Don't want to embarrass you. Want to pray for you. Want to love you. Want to be Jesus as best I know how. Would you come? You're in a good place right there. Stand right there. Who else will come? Who else will come? There are other folks. Don't be bashful. Don't think folks are going to be suspicious that you're not perfect. We already are. We know you're not perfect. Love you anyway, because we're not perfect either. We're all damaged goods, right? You can come. This be the time, whatever the issue is. Health, relationships, finances, whatever, past. I want to pray for you. Just going to pray for you. Would you come?